doing today? I guess I should say, it's still morning, isn't it? Welcome. I'm glad that you guys were here. Did y'all enjoy that time worshiping together? Wasn't that cool? It was. I hope more people, was that good? Come on. That's awesome. I love it. I also want to say just a special thanks to Jay Giordana, who was singing the last song right here. Can we give it up for her? She came in as a guest worship leader. And the really cool thing is tonight that she's going to be having her album release party right here. It's 6 p.m. I'm going to be here. I know. I'm really excited about it, honestly. It's an awesome album. I love Jay. She's got some soul in her and just a great voice, but more than anything, she's got a heart for the Lord. And so you don't want to miss tonight at 6 p.m. Also, if you're interested in getting her album, it's in the hall right here behind you, right underneath the Best Is Yet to Come banner, and then there's her album. Kind of cool, huh? Well, welcome. Glad that you guys are here. If you don't know me, my name is Todd. I'm the pastor. Thank you for coming this morning. And if it is your first time, welcome. Also, I ask, the only thing that I ask is that you fill out a connection card. It gives you the opportunity to connect with us and us to be able to send you something cool that I promise you you'll like in the mail, unless you dislike really good food. I can't tell you how many people come up to me afterwards like, Pastor, where can I get that? Like, I literally had somebody track me down the other day and say, hey, like, where did y'all buy that? Because I want it. It's good. You don't want to miss it. I'm glad y'all guys are here. So here's the deal. I've got a couple things that I want to talk about before we get into the message. And the first is restart. We start a sermon series today called Restart. And we're starting with Restart Together. But it's more than that. Starting next week, we will be having small groups that meet every week. And let me just encourage you to either get into a group or to host a group. It is not too late to host a group, by the way. You can still host a group. And it's been easier than it's ever been because every week as a church, we are on the same page. And if you host a group, you say, maybe I can do that at my work. We have people doing that at their workplace. We have people doing that in their homes. We have people doing that all over. And it's really simple. You host a group, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? It's really easy because all you have to do is put in a DVD or grab the USB jump drive, plug it into your computer or download it offline and you can stream it. And there's an introduction by me. And then you follow this devotion that really we totally redid and printed up. And it's written by a very good friend of mine from Church of the King in Mandeville. It's our sister church. And we're doing Restart Together. And it's based specifically and it's tweaked to my messages on what God's called us to restart in. Today, we're starting with Restart Together. But if you're interested in hosting a group or getting in a group, we have two tables in the foyer. Connect there. I don't even know how many groups we have right now. Total, I know as of Tuesday when we met as a staff, we had 51. That's not bad, but I bet we got some more today, and I don't want you to miss out because it is about restarting together. Let me just tell you, like, there's something about together. And I love people. I want y'all to get this. I love people. But it is not because I'm wired to be so socially interactive. People sometimes find this hard to believe because I'm pretty wired up and excitable and I'm outgoing and I can be all of those things, but I can also be the hermit. I can also be the guy that, like, at the end of the day, like, just leave me alone. I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to see anybody. I could go. Anybody go on these trips in your mind? You ever take trips in your mind? I know y'all think I'm crazy. I've wanted to backpack homeless across the country. My pastor's absolutely nuts. But I think it'd be pretty cool to, like, be by myself with nobody else around, just me in a backpack, no razor, no nothing, work wherever I can find work to get food. I think that would be really cool. And just live by myself alone. Anybody ever have that daydream? Come on, somebody help me out here. Yeah, because I don't have to be around people. But this is what I've learned, is that God's called us to people. He's called me to people. And I know that, man, we have this calling. God, I'm called to you. Yes, we are. The calling always begins with God. But if we think that the calling doesn't extend beyond, like, our personal relationship with him, we're wrong. Because let me tell you that we are called to people. And so we are called to restart life together. We are not called to live life alone. You ever been lonely? It's a miserable thing to be all alone when you don't want to be. Isn't it wonderful when you want to be by yourself and you're by yourself? Come on. But when you don't want to be by yourself and then you end up by yourself, is that a fun place to be? No. Because we are called to walk through life together. That's what this message is about. That we start our year together. There is something powerful when we come together and we say, Lord, we, not just me, we want you to do something. It's powerful. We're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting, day 8. I hate fasting. I don't know about y'all. I love food. South Louisiana, I know you love food, right? I mean, we're all food junkies and LSU junkies, except for the people we're in Alabama right up here. We're not going to look at them or talk about them. No, no. Don't we love food? I love food. I hate fasting, but why do I fast? Why? Because I know that my body has physical cravings, that this flesh has physical cravings. And though I don't like fasting, I do what I know I need to do to deny myself what I want so that I can put aside all of these fleshly cravings and pursue hard after God. And let me just say, this fast has been so easy for me to fast, and it's not because I love fasting. It's because I've been able to see very clearly what God's called me to and very clearly what he's called us as a church to, and it excites me. And so therefore, it is easy to deny my flesh what it wants, because there's a picture that I see that creates more hunger in me to see that thing come to fruition than me eating a Big Mac. Oh, who would eat a Big Mac? I don't know why I said Big Mac. Eating a Darryl's special with jalapeno mayo. Come on now. I know that the amen corner comes alive. Here's been my prayer. I'll just be transparent, sitting in my notes, but I just want to be a little transparent about what I've been praying personally and for our church. God gave me a word this year. It wasn't even one that I sought after. He gave it to me. I didn't like the way he gave it to me. I didn't like what the word was. He gave me the word satisfied. And then he's calling me in everything to be satisfied, but recognizing that satisfaction only comes from him. It's a call to him. So I'm praying to be satisfied because I'm in the presence of God, because I'm being led by his Spirit. I'm praying three things. Satisfied, because that's my word for the year. I'm praying peace, that I can constantly operate in peace and not be freaked out by the world around me and not react because something is happening and lose my peace, but respond being led by the Spirit of God because I've been with him. And the third thing that I'm praying is purpose, that I know very clearly what God's called me to, how he's wired me, and the calling that he has for me. That's my prayer. Why am I finding it easy to fast? Because I know what that, God showed me a picture of what that practically looks like in my life, and I'm able to see it and move towards it. As a church, I'm praying three primary things and two secondary things. Y'all wanna know what they are? Nobody, okay, start the message. I'm gonna tell you whether you like it or not. This is what God has put on my heart on the first day of the fast to pray for our church. Three things. The first one is unity. That we come together with the same heart, the same mind, the same vision, that we can be on the same page so that we can see the kingdom of God come, not just in our individual lives, but in this house. And when people walk in, they go, this is crazy. This must be what heaven is like. That's not a pipe dream. That's actually what Jesus told us we should pray for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, right? Y'all know this. Thy will be done on earth like it is where? In heaven. So it is not crazy for us to think that when people walk through these doors that it can be a piece of heaven because they're walking into the kingdom of God in that moment. That's for real. That never happens outside of unity and people coming together with the right heart, right mind, right spirit to allow God to move. One is unity. The second thing is diversity. And I don't want you to get confused and think that's just a racial thing. That's the color of somebody's skin that we're looking at diversity. Can I just say that unity and diversity go hand in hand? Because the truth is that we are a diverse church. Can I just say that we are not indicative of what the demographics of Lake Charles are, which is 49% African American, 48% Caucasian, and 2 and some odd percent other? I wish that we were, because man, what a story that would tell to people, wouldn't it? Isn't that cool? But that's not simply what diversity is, man. I'm all for that. I'm praying for that. I know I'm just a white cracker boy that's kind of goofy. I get it. But you know what? We can reflect what the kingdom of God is. And the connection between unity and diversity is this, is that we are all different. We have different backgrounds. We have different socioeconomic backgrounds. We have different personalities. We look at the world differently, but there is some sort of crazy God power that's released when we all come together in the name of Jesus and we say, Lord, we want your kingdom to come first in our lives individually, and then second in our church, that we believe can be like heaven on earth. And when people walk in, they encounter God because our hearts are knit together, and we're not mad at so-and-so because they thought this way, or they said this, or they acted this way. And we're not sitting around complaining because we didn't like what this person did, but we like what this person did. And we have a heart to see God's kingdom show up. And we can set aside selfish, petty differences, and we can overlook the areas where we are different, and we can come together to make something beautiful. I know what that's like. I know how hard it is because I'm married. I just thought Lisa was amazing, and she is. She was beautiful and so sweet, submissive. And then we got married. Something happened. You get married and it's all wonderful. The honeymoon ends and World War III begins. And for 8 years, we duked it out. There was no unity in our marriage. You know why? Because we were each trying to build our own kingdom. Me more than her. And it's always the man. There's a saying around here, it's always the man. You may not like that man, but it's so true. Ladies, that does not exempt you from a single thing, because once the man gets his stuff together, your stuff gets exposed. So, just saying. But when you get to the place where you live selflessly, you have unity in diversity. The third thing is purpose. Purpose. What's our purpose? I know who we are. We're a church that loves God. We're a church that loves people. We're a church that serves all. That's what God's called all of us to be. That's who we are to be, people who love God. I'm supposed to be a man that loves God at all times, that loves people, realizing that my call is more than just to God. It's more than just this personal hidden thing, but there's an outward expression that me being transformed by the power of God is seen in my love, not just for him, but because I love him, I'm reaching out to other people. What organization? I believe it was the Salvation Army that said it was a heart towards God and a hand towards man. That's how we should live. A heart towards God, a hand towards man. Serve. Love God, love people, serve all. That's who we are. But can I tell you, we exist. We exist to reach people and build lives. We exist to reach people with the love of God and build lives on the revelation that Jesus is the hope of the world and the hope of their world and the hope of my world and the hope of your world. And if we don't have the revelation that we are called, we exist, this is why we are on this earth, to reach people, because it's not about me. It can't be about me. If I make it about me, it's only fulfilling for a very short amount of time. And then I keep trying to find stuff to fill the void because I've made it about me. It is about God's will being done in me, and the through me comes after that as I reach out to people. That's why we exist, to reach people and to build lives. Unity, diversity, purpose. That's what I'm praying over our church. There's two secondary things, and one of them is, it's all on my app that I do all my prayer stuff on. It's the supernatural. Man, I want to see the supernatural, but maybe not like you've seen on television, because that always kind of freaked me out. It always had to happen at a church service and happen right up at the front and people falling down. It's kind of crazy. I'm like, And then all the televangelists that report all this supernatural stuff, you find out all these scams. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Children of the 80s who grew up with your mama making you watch some crazy TV only to find out those people were crazy themselves. That's not the supernatural. That's the shakedown. That's what that is. But the supernatural, when we say, Lord, Your presence is here. We believe you that you can bring healing. And we see people when the doctor tells them this is impossible, there's nothing that can be done, that God shows up and the impossible becomes possible because the supernatural power of God is invading our life because we're submitting and surrendering to it. That we see the broken lives all around us, broken relationships, broken people who are emotionally torn apart. And the marriage counselor says, there's no hope. This is just going down the tubes. And then God steps in a supernatural and powerful way and marriages are restored. That we see people who are told, like, this is the illness that you have and it's in your mind and there's nothing that can be done. We can put you on medication. But God shows up and speaks differently to that and says, I can heal those deep wounds that result in such a painful experience in your mind. And he brings healing and wholeness to people. I'm praying for the supernatural. We can see that. And I'm praying for restart. Very much so. Because I don't care about another, I don't care about another program. I just don't. I don't. Programs are great. They're nice. They're neat. They're organized. But that's not how God usually operates. Like, he comes and messes things up a lot of times in a very good way, and in the end, it becomes order. It orders our life, but we view it as this chaotic, messed up thing so oftentimes because he rocks our world because his ways are not our ways. So when we think we got it all together, God will show up with a word and change everything in a moment. I don't need another program, and I'm praying that we can come together and recognize that as the church has had, I'll be honest, for the last year, an inward focus to and that's not a bad thing, to deal with the internal things, and we all need that in our lives individually. There are times when we have to focus on the junk inside of us and allow God to come and rectify wrongs and bring healing where there's hurt so that we can be a healed and whole person that can represent, reflect, and walk out the path that he has for us. Y'all following me? That's an earful. Not that an inward focus is bad, but if an inward focus is constantly focused inwardly, it is easy for the enemy to come in and make this subtle shift where it goes, we're focusing inwardly to allow God to bring healing to the areas of darkness in our life, the areas of brokenness, where it just becomes all about us. I have a good friend that was probably one of the best worship leaders I've ever heard. Amazing musician. His worship was off the charts. It was original. And he was an up and comer in the worship scene probably 12 years ago. My favorite worship album of all time is his. So gifted and talented. And then something happened. That worship, he stopped worshiping God. He started worshiping the music. And he just made this turn that was unhealthy. It's easy to take the inward focus, and if we're not careful to allow God direct it, the enemy will direct it right back to us to where we're in this cycle of focusing on us. That can happen both individually and corporately, which is why as a pastor I'm coming and say, let's reach people, build lives, which is why I'm praying for restart, because we can recognize that it's not about us, and you may be uncomfortable going to somebody's group. You may be uncomfortable hosting a group. Let me just say, it's not about you. And there are thousands and thousands of lost and broken people who are far from God. And let me tell you, if you walk in the light, it is an amazing thing. It's an awesome thing. I was driving this morning real early, came up here for 6 a.m. prayer, and then was driving back home and heading north and watching the sun as it was streaking across. It was beautiful. It was like 30 degrees, but it was just crystal clear and just the light with the shadows on the road. And it felt like every time I was crossing through all of these shadows, it was like finish lines. And I was moving on, winning and winning and winning because I knew I was right with God, right with the world, right with everybody that I knew. Is that a good feeling? Y'all ever been in those moments where God's just there? I want that for people. I don't care if it makes me uncomfortable or if it makes you uncomfortable. I'm sorry, I'm not here to make you comfortable, but I want you to get to the place where you can walk in peace. And there is no level of peace that surpasses the peace of God when we allow him and his kingdom to be built through us. That's why I'm praying for restart. That's why I'm going, host a group. Get in a group. Why? I could care less about what I'm saying on video because I'm kind of hokey looking, if you want to know the truth. And who cares? But because it's not about that. It's about us seeing lives transform as we reach people. Let's start with the message. Y'all ready? Whew. Let's restart together. It begins with vision. I want you all to get that. I have a history degree. I love history, love American history. 1963, one of my favorite speeches and one of my favorite figures in American history. He gave an unbelievable speech in 1963 that electrified a nation, but it did more than just electrify for a moment. It galvanized a people together because it painted a picture of a future that actually could be and still can if we believe it. Y'all probably already know what that speech is because one of the most famous outside of the Gettysburg Address. This is probably the second most famous speech in all of American history. Anybody know what that speech was in 1963? Everybody know the I Have a Dream speech. Let me just tell you, it moved a nation towards a place where it was supposed to be. That's what vision does. That's what God's called us to do, to be in the place where we can hear and we can see what he speaks to us. And I want to look at Genesis chapter 11 in the first 9 verses where we see a people who had a vision and the power behind it, what happens when they have a vision. It says, Genesis 11, verse 1, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. As they began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. And that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That's why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. And in this way, he scattered them all over the world. This story is interesting because God looks down from heaven and says, look at these people. They all speak the same language. They all see the same thing. They want this city to be built. They have specific goals. Man, nothing that they put their mind to, nothing's going to be impossible for them. And I want to look at how they built something this incredible that God had to show up in opposition to them. How did they do it? Because I believe that there's some keys that we can glean from it, and there's also some truths that we better get or we'll find ourselves in the same situation where God opposes us. So here they are, three things. How they built something incredible. Number one, they had the same vision. They had the same vision. Look at Genesis 11:4. They said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. They had the same vision. And here's what it was. Let's build this amazing city with a tower that reaches to the sky. They had the same vision. Let me just say, it is possible to look at the same thing and think very differently from everyone else. I get this because I'm married. I look at a motorcycle and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. This is freedom. This is an escape. This is stress relief. This is adrenaline. I look at that motorcycle, depending on what it is. Don't give me those cruisers. I like things that are fast. And my wife looks at it and goes, it's a death trap. It's the end of the family as I know it. It's the worst thing. It's the devil's creation. I get it. But something happens when people come together with the same vision. They build amazing things. Let me just say that that's a biblical truth. That is a spiritual truth that operates whether your spirit is right or not, because you can come together with some really foul people and have a foul vision, and you can do something incredible, can't you? But if we have the same vision, the same heart, with our hearts set on what God is calling us to, we can build some unbelievable and amazing things. So here's my question for you individually. What do you see for your life? What do you see? I know what God's called me to. As I'm praying my every day, Lord, I want to be a man that's satisfied in your presence and satisfied with you and what you have for me. That I want to be a man that operates in peace, and I never react, but I respond by the leading of your spirit. That, Lord, I'm not unclear about what the purpose is that you've created me for, but God, I got to see what you're calling me to. I see it. That's why it's easy to fast, because there's a vision there. There's something to work towards. What vision do you have for your life? It's the beginning of the year. A lot of people make resolutions. Most people won't keep them. That's okay. If you want to be someone who doesn't keep the resolutions, knowing what you should do. Come on now. I've been there. Don't throw things at me. We've all been there. But when we have a God-sized vision, it motivates and it makes fasting easy. Even though I love food and I love to eat, it's been easy to fast, not because I'm not hungry, but because I know what God's calling me to. And more than that, he's not just had creating vision for us individually. What do we see corporately together? Do we see this as a place where people's lives are transformed, where people walk through the doors and for them it's like walking into heaven, because it is the same for us as well, because we love it so much, because God's presence here is here. We've put aside all of the differences that we've had and we say, Lord, your kingdom come despite how different we may be. What do you see? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, that means when there's no vision from God, the people cast off restraint. I've been in pretty good shape in my day. I've worked really hard in the past to discipline my body so that it could do what I wanted it to do athletically. Anybody else here? You've been like that. You've been an athlete and you've monitored what you ate, how much you slept. There was a point in my life where I was weighing food to make sure that every meal was weighed out and I'd make it for the week, because I had a picture of what I wanted to be, what I wanted to look like, where I wanted to go. Has anybody ever done that athletically? Come on. Yeah, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of that. That's a good thing. But when for me, I had to have a goal. There had to be a race. There had to be a point. There had to be something. And I kept that in my mind because that's what I was focused on. There was an event that I was focused on, that if I could, I could make myself do some incredible things. But when there was no point in it, I'd be like, yeah, I'll eat the cheeseburger. I'm not in training anymore. Nothing real important. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. What do you see? Because everybody wants to win. But the win, and I want you to hear me on this, if you think the win is your personal satisfaction and giving in to the cravings that your flesh wants and more, not just food, whatever appetite it is for stuff, for status, for power, for gratification in the flesh, if you think that fulfills, you're mistaken. What we have to realize is that when we get a vision from God, both individually and corporately, it makes the discipline easy. But when there's no vision from God, who cares? Because we wander around wondering what we're living for. Is it my job? Am I supposed to be like really like kill that and like do really great at that? Is it my marriage? Like it's supposed to have the best marriage ever? Like I should focus on that marriage and like make that right. Should it be like I can build something really amazing in this business that I have. It's just small now, but if I got a break, and we begin to choose our purpose. Can I just say none of those are bad? As long as they're in line with the vision that God has for you and you're pursuing him, not that means to what you think is the end. Because at the end, it's always him. They had the same vision. The second thing, they spoke the same language. Genesis 11:1, at that time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? You speaking the language of hope or despair? Are you speaking the language of faith or fear? What's your self-talk like? Are you speaking the language of love, or are you speaking the language of selfishness? They all spoke the same language. Here's the language I want to speak, the language of God, that is love, that is faith, that is hope, that is trust in him, that is security, knowing that he holds the future. So I want to be in his hand, because that's where the shaping of the future takes place, but not just in my life individually, but our lives, if we allow God to knit our hearts together for the vision that he's called us to reaching people, living outside of ourselves, to building lives, starting with our own, and then seeing the broken come to the place of healing am I speaking the same language? What am I saying? What do we say? Let me just remind you that whatever you focus on is magnified in your life. So if you want to focus on the negative, if you want to focus on the bad, guess what's going to happen? That's just going to magnify in your life, and you're going to find more negative and bad than you can imagine. Why? Because you're focused on it. But if we focus on that one still small voice of what God's speaking to us, if we focus on that because there's light and there's life in there, what we'll find is there's a fullness that washes over us. There's an enlightenment that takes place, that all of the darkness around us is washed away in His light because we're focusing on His word rather than the many, the plethora of negative things all around us. I hope I'm making sense. Y'all following me here? So here's my question. The first one is, what do you see? Let me tell you what I see around here. Lives that have been restored. Darkness turned into light. Devastation, destruction that's been turned into restoration and reconciliation. I see a house that's full, that's going to be more and more full. I see literally thousands of lost and broken people that we can reach if we have the same vision, we see the same thing. If we speak the same language, the language of God, the language of love, the language of hope, the language of faith. The third thing, as we wrap up, I'm finishing up early. Everybody hates it when a pastor goes short. They set the same goals. Genesis 11:3, they began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In verse 6, we say, look, the people are united. They all speak the same language. And after this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Can I tell you, they set the same goals. This is what that goal was. Let's just make some bricks, because they knew that if they were going to build a city and a tower that reached into heaven, what would they need? Come on, what would they need? They need bricks. So they started baking bricks. That was their goal. Let's just bake bricks. Let me just remind you that goals are the stair steps to the fulfillment of the vision that you have. It doesn't matter whether it's a secular one or it's one that God's given you. Goals are the stair steps. And they had the same vision. We want to build this city. They spoke the same language. They were all on one page. They had a set of goals. Let's bake bricks and then we're going to start building. And God shows up and says, wow, nothing's going to be impossible for them. But here's the deal. There's one thing. They stumbled over the same problem. They stumbled over the same problem. And the problem was seen in verse 4. Come, let's build a great city for ourselves. That's what it says. Let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. The same problem was, it was all about them. It was all about them. My prayer is that you can see the vision that God has for you. That you can see the vision that God has for us to reach people and build lives. That we can all speak the same language. It's the language of God. It's the language of love. It's the language of faith. It's the language of hope. And that we focus on what we know will be rather than focus on the negative things that are all around us. Even in the best of marriages, I know because I have a great marriage, but even in the best of marriages, there are negative things that happen because people are, even at their best, when they operate in the flesh, it can get to the worst pretty quickly, can it? But let me just say, when we have the vision of God in our lives individually and as a church, when we are speaking the same language and we have the same goals, and let me just tell you what that goal is. For me and for this church, it's restart. For this season, it's restart. Let's reach out to the people around us. It excites me so much to see people saying, hey, I'm doing this at work. I've got people in my workplace that they want to meet together. People are doing it in homes. They're doing it on job sites. That's awesome. It's not about the program. It's about us reaching outside of ourselves because we are here. We exist to reach people and to build lives. That's why we're here. And it is easy to make life about us, to make it about me, isn't it? Come on, let's be honest. Is it? It's very easy. And my prayer for you is that you get to the place where you hear God's voice. He speaks to you. He shows you what he has in store for you. You recognize what he has in store for us. You speak the language of love, the language of God, and that we step out step after step. My goal personally, I want to know what it is for me and my walk with God. I had a good friend a couple days ago, we were talking, and he said, yeah, my word is wholeness. So this year I'm doing, for my 21 days, I'm doing 30, 30, 30. I mean, what is that? 30 minutes of prayer, 30 minutes of Bible study, and 30 minutes of exercise. He's like, I figured God's word for me was wholeness, so I might as well be whole in body, soul, and spirit. And I'm like, that's pretty good. You know what those are? Those are goals. Those are stair steps to seeing the vision that God's called him to in wholeness. For me, and satisfied. I recognize that can't ever happen outside of spending time in the presence of God. So it's prayer. It's worship. It's Bible study. It's spending time in the presence of God, recognizing he is the source of satisfaction, the only one that's true and fulfills. What do you see? Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know this message was for me. I need a vision. In fact, I hear God speaking to me about what he's calling me to, and I can't even explain it, but today I feel him tugging on my heart, and I know that he is calling me away from myself and to him. And today I choose to surrender to the call that he has on me and on my life. I know this message was for me. I need to see what he's called me to see. I need to speak what he's called me to speak. I need to set the goals that he's called me to set. And I don't want it to be about me. If you're here today and you know that this message was for you, raise your hand. Say, Pastor, this is for me. Thank you. Hands all over the place. I'm not even gonna try and call them out. There's so many. I want us to pray together right now with your heads bowed. You can just repeat after me. Say, all of us, say, Dear God, I turn from my ways. I turn from my sin, from my choices. I choose you. Thank you, Jesus. You paid the price for my sin. You took my place on the cross. I'm yours. And Father, I just pray right now for everyone that prayed that prayer, and that wasn't just something that they repeated, but Lord, it was something that resonated in their heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and that you heard it, and that you know that today for them is a new day. And so Lord, I just pray a blessing on them right now. I just pray that they sense your spirit with them, that you're at work inside of them, and Lord, you bring freedom, Lord, you bring deliverance, you bring wholeness, you bring joy to them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Can we give those folks a hand? It's awesome. Pastor Josh will come up and dismiss in just a moment. Let me just remind you guys, my heart for you is for you to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. The best avenue that I know of in this church is getting into our growth track. It's called Grow. It happens today right after this service in the room, the theater room. It's actually our old sanctuary. It's right out over here. When you walk out of here, you'll see signs for Grow. Please come. It's the best way to connect to your purpose. It's the best way to get plugged in and connect with our church. It's a lot of fun. Free food, childcare is taken care of. I love you guys. I say it all the time, but it's so true. The best is yet to come. Pastor Josh.
Y'all get up for Pastor Todd. What a great way to start off the year. I know it's the second Sunday technically, but it's still kind of, everybody's still waking up a little bit. How many guys, or are all my Cajuns like still frozen this morning? Everybody still... I could tell. Everybody kind of moved in a little slow this morning. I was kind of like, all right. Hey, real quick, couple things. First of all, ushers, you guys can come on in. Come on down. We're getting ready to take up our tithes and offerings. For those that do not know me, I'm from North Dakota. That's why I like to pick on all the cold Cajuns. It's kind of fun. But real quick, while they're doing that, a couple ways to give is either online or you can use, if you're making a check, you can make it out to Church of the King. And there's an envelope in front of you you can use for that purpose. Also, our prayer team, if you guys can come on down. These guys are here every single Sunday, and they're up front. If there's anything you need someone just to pray with you about in your life, you're going, you know what? I need someone just to agree with me about something, a situation, something going on in my life, they'll be down here in the front following the service. It's a great time to come. Just go, hey, pray with me. And then also, Pastor Todd mentioned our connection cards. If you have a prayer request, if you're here for the first time, man, just want someone just to connect with you, place it in the basket. All the prayer requests get prayed for every week by a whole bunch of folks. And it's pretty cool just to see what God is doing. Ushers, you guys can go ahead and begin to take up tithes and offerings. While they do that, I'm going to remind you of a couple things. First of all, Restart kicks off. If you have not got your devotional yet, they are on the big table out front right behind the Restart banner. So if you have not yet got your devotional book today, go grab one of those. They are incredible. Our teams are working on getting all that stuff wrapped up. And it's really cool. Also, now's a great time to start looking at getting to a group. Group starts next Sunday, and they are going to be incredible. We have already over 50 groups throughout the area. So there's plenty. Get into a group. Get connected with some folks. It's going to be a great time. Pastor Todd mentioned it. Grow starts right after today. It'll be in the theater room right across. And I'm forgetting one thing. Baptism. That's why I write things down in my hand. Baptism is next Sunday, and if you have never taken this next step in your walk with God, and just say, hey, I'm choosing to follow Christ through the act of baptism, this next Sunday is a great time to do it. You can also use the connection card that's in front of you. Just put your name, phone number on their email, and you can drop it in one of the boxes by the door and just say, hey, I'm going to get baptized.